He's one of the greatest soul singers and performers. Love the tone of his voice. Actually, I listen to him and you can hear a lot of R&B singers that kind of, there's a lot of the way that Donny Hathaway sings that you can hear in a lot of R&B singers today. And he paved the way for that. I remember, I think years ago, I was working with, I can't remember the name, I worked with somebody who had known him and worked with him before back then, and they just said how he was just a really bubbly, bubbly character, but at the same time, deeply troubled. I think this song really expresses that. This, to me, is what soul music really is about. It's not about some guy crooning to a girl and trying to say all sorts of things just because he's trying to get off with her. It kind of goes a lot deeper than that and expresses something I just have to say is very, very soulful.
Yeah, no, we understand exactly what you're saying, man. Wonderful. When did your own voice, singing voice, appear to you? When did you first know you could actually do it?
Yeah, the funny thing is, I remember back in my college days, and because I lived in a house with some other students who were my friends, and they'd hear me sing in the shower. And some of my friends would say, oh, man, you know, you actually sound voice, you know, because everybody sings in the shower.
Yeah.
And I really never, I just used to brush it off. I mean, I was in the choir as a kid back in Nigeria. My mum made sure I was in a choir because otherwise I probably would have gotten in all sorts of trouble if I didn't do that. And my love for music kind of started from back then. But I think, to be honest with you, more than anything else, I wouldn't say I recognize it myself. It's something that other people recognize and then encourage you to keep doing. I remember one of the first songs we recorded in the studio, which was a lot of fun for me because it was, you know, the first time I was in a studio and seeing all the flashing lights on the mixing desk and stuff like that, was Ocean Drive. And everybody was going, oh, sounds great, sounds amazing. But it was one of the first times I'd actually heard my voice come back at me from these large speakers. And it was the strangest sound. I didn't like it at all.
Really?
No. I mean, I couldn't really say that to the people. I was like, everybody's going, oh, that sounds great. And I thought, that sounds terrible. Because I think a lot of the time when you speak or sing, everybody has an experience of this. You know, you record your voice on your mobile phone, just a little voicemail, and you play it back. And it's the strangest sound.
Yeah, it's not you at all.
Yeah, because, you know, like when you speak normally, you kind of hear yourself differently. And through all the sort of like, I don't know, the bones in your head and the muscles around your face kind of, I think it changes the way you sound to yourself. But as I said, people would say, oh, it sounds good. And they'd encourage me. And I think just through the encouragement, I gradually accepted it and got used to it. But I would never have put myself up and say, oh, you know, hey, I think I can sing. Let me do that. You know, it just wasn't in my nature at all.
Well, I'm glad somebody pushed you into it. Very good. Your next choice is Carole King. It's Too Late.
Yes. You can easily draw a line between her and James Taylor. Obviously, they did a lot of stuff together. And, you know, from that era in particular, a lot of the songwriters back then were just amazing. They write songs or have written songs that sometimes I look at and I think, oh, man, I wish I'd written that or I wish I'd said that. And I think she really encapsulates that. I mean, there's a mood in that music that just totally expresses from, you know, from the chords, the way it starts, and then when she starts singing, it totally just fully captures the message of what the song is all about.